Great to have you with us this morning. Lots to get through. We've got a very big show coming up. Zoe Samios writes for the Sydney Morning Herald and The Age. She's been right across the AFL media rights landscape, so we'll get her on to try and make some sense of. There's a huge buzz about Paramount and that Channel 10 had bid for everything and that they were going to take over, and it would appear that that's not the case. But anyway, we don't know much about it. We'll ask Zoe when she comes on and joins us.
We're interested, though. By my word, we're interested.
Well, it is of great interest.
That's well, exactly particularly right. You. I mean, I'm on my way out, but you've still got a nice little 10-year span ahead of you. At least a tenner. If you look after yourself.
I'm not sure about that. A weather update. City power upgrades keeping electricity in Melbourne's CBD reliable. It's currently 3 degrees, so yes, it is a chilly morning.
Yep.
We're heading for a top of 13, but it's on the turn.
Now, we all know that the MRO gave Patrick Cripps a 2-week ban, okay? We also all know that Rioli challenged a very similar incident, went to the tribunal and had his overturned.
Yep.
And walked away scot-free.
Yep.
Now we know that Carlton, obviously, they've got to go to they're going to appeal, so yep. They're going to go to the tribunal. Are you expecting the same result?
You know what? I just do not know the answer to that. And I don't know anyone that can speak with any great degree of surety about it. Carlton will go and throw everything at it. They'll think they're a good chance. Others will say that's a fundamental difference between marking and playing the ball. The others will say that Matty Rowell jumped up and played the game out no problem. This boy, Callum Archie, went off and was subbed out with symptoms. Ultimately, yeah, look, it's, you know what the tribunal's like. If it was Christian Petrarca, people may not believe me, but I'm telling you from my heart, if Christian Petrarca did the same thing, this is my honest opinion, I think it's a suspendable action. Jumping off the ground and hitting someone in the head that warrants them being taken from the ground, for mine, isn't a suspendable offence.
Is there still some room in the game to judge something as a football action where you're competing for the ball?
Yep.
And it's not necessarily a bump, but it's a collision,
yep,
which is the result of two people competing for the same ball. One may be arriving a little bit later,
yep,
and then just covering themselves up. And in the act of covering themselves up, after they competed for the ball, they bump somebody and make contact high.
I think there is. And then all the different determinants come into play. Did you arrive at the same time at the ball? And was the contact incidental? Yep. Was there an option for Patrick Cripps not to jump off the ground? Which, of course, there was. He didn't have to jump off the ground to make contact, which then the...
he did, really, because the ball was there to be... He was competing for the ball, and at that split second, he thought that he was competing for the ball. Therefore, he would have had to take off the ground.
Okay.
I think, anyway, if you look at those... If you look at that, and, you know, they're going to slow it down and look at it frame by frame, that type of thing, but they... If you look at it in real speed and in real time...
Yep.
I didn't think that it was such a... an illegal attack on the ball,
yeah,
as what some other people thought.
That's why we get these varied results and the passions and everything else. Some people see it like that, other people don't. It may very well his ability to get off and play might be determined by who sits on the appeals panel or the challenging panel. Because if you get the same three that sat at the Willy Rioli, your chances are he might.
Well, I think you made a really good point about that, and that is the different outcome. And that is that Archie didn't play any more part in the game. Mm. And the other incident involving Rao got up and played the rest of the game. So there would have been a medical report.
Yep.
Okay, let's put that
to
one.
What about you?
No, I've already said what I thought about it.
Do you think he should get off?
I think he will. Yeah, I think he will based on...
Do you think he should?
I do. I think that...
In the environment about head-high contact?
No, and you know my point about that and how strong I am about that and how serious we need to take it. You know all that. But I still think we play a collision sport.
No question.
And there's a competitiveness which is associated with that.
Yep.
And accidents will happen in the determination for two players to go after the one ball.
Yep.
That's what I think. Okay. Koshy and what he said yesterday, has that put a flame underneath Ken Hinckley? Let's just recap what Kosh had to say yesterday first.
Obviously, this year will be the worst finish that we've had in the last 10 years, and something's got to change. But that's a whole of program decision. We've got to get better. We've got to make some hard decisions. And as I said last week and the week before, we will assess every single line item in the football department at the end of the year when it's appropriate, when we do every year.
Did that light a torch underneath Ken Hinckley in your mind?
Well, of course.
Not a torch, a flame.
Publicly it does, because we were all told and conditioned
that
Kenny Hinckley's got a year to run in his contract, and from the CEO that Ken will be our coach next year. And Ken himself said that, and the direct quote from Ken, let's have a listen to Ken's response last night.
Do you feel any uncertainty that you'll be the Port Adelaide coach next year?
No, I don't, Jared. And David himself has said that he expects me to be coaching Port Adelaide in 2023, as I do, and that's what I'm preparing for.
Do you absolutely want to see this last year of your contract, Ken?
Yeah, absolutely I do. That's my personality. That's who I am. I see things through as best I possibly can. We all get there's a finish line for everyone at some point. But as I sit here tonight, I'm more than confident that that won't be at the end of 2022.
So what David says to Ken privately and then what David says in the public domain may very well be different. And that is why we're having this discussion. Yep. That's why it was talked about last night on I Imagined All the Footy Shows, and why necessarily or unnecessarily it is back in the domain. And Kenny Hinckley will be going, but you told me I'm right, Ken.
There was another way that he could have framed that, David Koch. He could have said pretty much all the same things, but he could have framed it in a different way. He would have said, look, we are going to vigorously look at our football department, but I'm here now saying that that won't include the removal of Ken Hinckley. He has a contract to go. But maybe we haven't got the right support around him. Maybe we need to move some other parts around him.
That's right.
To determine whether or not we're getting the maximum performance out of our group and our team.
So is he just putting him on public notice?
He is. Yeah. He is. Yeah, unnecessarily, in my mind.
Is there any chance in the wide world that Ken Hinckley's not coaching Port Adelaide next year?
I think there is, after what he had to say yesterday. So, and I couple that together with the fact that GWS are looking for a coach, and those that know a lot better than what I do about relationships around some of those former Geelong people that were associated with the club tell me that Jimmy Bartel is a massive fan of Ken Hinckley.
Right, and Ken has vehemently just said that's not an issue at all, never spoken to them and is not interested in speaking to them. But now...
But maybe not then, but maybe now.
Koshy comes out and throws the door open and says, instead of saying we will review... Ken's coaching next year, and in that process we'll review every single part of our game, our coaching and football department.
Yep.
He just left that bit out and said every single role will be reviewed in 2 weeks' time.
It's not a stretch to say that after that period of time, was it nearly 10 years that he's been coaching there, Kenny?
Yeah.
That, you know, it may well be a good time for, you know, club and coach to depart and Ken go somewhere else and coach, because I think he's a really good coach.
So do I.
He hasn't had the ultimate success, but I think he's a really good coach. In fact, I really think he's been let down a lot by, in particular, like he's backed himself in with those three tall forwards in Georgiadis, Marshall and also Dixon.
He didn't play Georgiadis on the weekend.
I know they didn't play him after the performance from the week before. That's why.
But at a time when Marshall's not out with COVID.
That's That goes to the heart of when you're actually saying somebody's letting me down.
He had plenty
and
of chances
he needs
to drop Mitch Georgiadis.
No, he did. He did. But
he dropped him on the same week that Marshall's out and Grimes is out.
100%. But then he looked at him and he thought, well, you just let me down last weekend again. I've shown enormous faith in you. Go back and play at the lower level.
Do you think, and I don't know this, David Koch is saying, righto, 10-year, you know, near 10-year coaching career, got us to the, you know, precipice but not there yet. Can he do something next year that he hasn't done this year and look at Collingwood and go, yeah, Nathan Buckley, 10-year, yeah, got us to the precipice, nearly got there. Went with him and maybe a year too long because halfway through the year both coach and club decide to part. And look what's happened with a fresh face. Do you think that's weighing on David Koch's mind?
I don't know.
Fresh eyes?
I don't know how broadly he thinks about matters of football. I don't know whether or not he's looked at it like that or not. But they may be thinking that there's other coaches. You wouldn't make that determination and decision on Ken Hinckley if you thought that you're actually going to get something potentially better than what you already had, though, would you?
How do you know? How did you know that Craig McRae was going to be the personality of the year, which he is so far?
No, true. But there's another guy out there at the moment that's currently not employed anywhere, who a lot of people think is the best coach of the last 50-100 years.
He's the known quantity.
That's right. He's been over there in South Australia before.
Yeah, he's been at Port Adelaide before.
Exactly. So maybe they think that they're a chance to throw, as Ian Baker Finch said, a line out there and maybe get a nibble.
This won't happen. It never happens. This won't happen. I was talking this on the week. NFL, not that we want to be like, Hardwick would be coaching Essendon. Hinkley would be coaching the Giants. Clarkson would be back in the systems. They just flip them around. They don't have as emotional attachment to their coaches. We're emotionally attached to our coaches, which is a good thing, I think, because it demonstrates, you know, a mutual loyalty. And it's a great commitment, but they don't like...
But there's more loyalty...
There's an emotional quality to Ken Hinckley. Yeah,
yes,
Ken
but
Hinckley
there's
coaching
more...
Port Adelaide.
But right to that point, there's more loyalty in our game at all levels than what there is in the NFL.
Yeah, I think it's a good thing.
And long may that be the case too.
But if you're not seriously considering your coach after 10 years having not delivered and having had the worst year of the 10-year tenure in the 10th year, you're not doing your job. You're not doing your job if you're not seriously reviewing that.
That's true. That's because your job is to get better and make sure that a standard is maintained at your football club.
Yeah.
And it may be the person that you have at the time or it might be somebody else. But having said that, it seems to me to be sort of an emotional decision based on the fact that they're going to miss the finals, that they are now looking at Ken Hinckley after the assurances that they've had publicly from their CEO early in the year about I'm pretty categoric in saying that at one point he said Ken Hinckley will be our coach next year.
Yeah, well, according to Ken, he did.
He did, but he said that publicly. That's my point. Yeah. Matthew Richardson, he's the CEO.
So they go every single club. I did this homework. Every single club, I think, except Geelong, has sacked a coach
in the last
decade,
20
years.
In the last 20 years,
yeah. So their ability to get it right and go with the coach into the next length of tenure and then sack them demonstrates that they haven't been getting it right and that they err on the side of an extra year rather than cutting the cord. The Giants. This time last year, what do you reckon the Giants were going through? Exactly the same thing as Port Adelaide are going through now with Ken. Leon's been here for a long time. Yes, we've been to prelims. Yes, we've been to the grand final. We haven't quite got there, but yeah, we had some injuries. Do we go with him again? It's in his last year. Yeah, look, I think we will.
Mm.
And 8 games in, he's gone.
What do you think about Ken Hinckley's performance this year as coach of Port Adelaide, though?
I think they've been...
Apart from the WLs, the way that they've gone about playing.
Oh, no, I've had some questions along the journey about the way they've used their forwards, but that's all right. My questions mightn't mean anything. But he hasn't been helped by the fact that he had some really important players not there, but every club has to deal with that. You know, they started zipping five.
Mm.
Zip five. And then the pressure came off a bit because they started to rumble along with some wins, and now the finish has been pretty poor. So that's not a great year. In fact, it's his worst year as coach.
Mm. His previous 2 years have been really good, though.
Yeah, and so had Leon's.
And that's why it's a difficult decision, though, to make from a football club perspective.
And that's why the team...
Because you've got to say to yourself, okay, has this bloke taken us as far as we can go with the talent that we've got available? Did we give him the premiership talent that he needed for him to be able to produce a better performance than his team's produced? Then you make the allowances for what you're talking about with the players that he hasn't had available. What disruption has that caused to the team and their performance this year?
And it's why coaches... don't coach much longer than 10 years if you haven't delivered. It just doesn't happen, Wisp.
The cycle doesn't work for you.
It doesn't work for you, rightly or wrongly. And there's not too many that exist at a club without having delivered beyond 10 years. That's just a fact.
That is true. That is true.
Interesting times.
David
Kosh has put this all on the agenda. Make no mistake.
Yeah.
For the last week or so, everyone's...
No one was talking about it before he started talking about it yesterday in the way that he did. And that's what's raised so many questions. When we come back, we've got to take a break, but when we come back, I want to ask you a couple of questions about Buddy Franklin and Isaac Rankin as well. That deal that's being muted out there. Sorry, muted?
Muted.
Muted out there, muted. Hasn't been muted.
That'd be a quiet show if we've been muted.
I'm still on medication. let's talk about that.
Great to have your company. Great to have your messages and your phone calls, as Mickey from Kings Park has done. He's called through on the open line. Morning, Mick.
Good morning, boys. I said it a couple of months ago that I reckon Kendall might coach out his last year of his contract next year. And I reckon the next coach of Port Adelaide is Blake Ewig alongside Gary. But I reckon he might take the role after next year.
Well, we can only take him, Mickey, on what he says. And right now he says he can't see himself going back and coaching, but everyone can change their mind, can't they? And he's got some Port Adelaide heritage. So who knows? You might be right, Mick. We'll wait and see. Nando's on the road. G'day, Nando.
G'day, boys. How you going?
Good. We're good.
The Baggers are going to throw the lifeline at the Paddy Cripps and challenge that, contest that challenge, I hope. What do you reckon his chances are getting from 2-1?
I think he might get off, Nando. I don't know. Can you remember the vision that Rioli, after he was cited by the MRO for a similar incident? Can you remember that?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
Well, he challenged that and got off altogether. So there is some chance, and Carlton will be hoping that's the case when the tribunal meet, that exactly the same thing happens. Very similar incidents. Although Gary's right, one was a kick, the other was a handball.
One was attempted mark, one was just general play. Yeah. We'll wait and see. Nando, I think one of the reasons, and yesterday we said the same thing, it didn't, normally these are hotbed topics that go crazy, but that didn't yesterday and it hasn't today, because I think people just go, well, you know, not really sure, and we'll wait and see, and we know they're going to appeal, so who knows what the appeals or the challenge board will do.
Hey, we haven't spoken since that story about Buddy going to Brisbane erupted, and the speculation around that, and then the Swans made a statement, then Buddy came out and made a statement too about, okay, we'll talk about it at the end of the season. And, you know, some people went off half-cocked and said that there's a lot of me about Buddy, and, you know, he shouldn't be talking about that type of thing. My read on it is it was never a story that Buddy put out there. There's been this ongoing... Well, you look at me quizzically, but I don't know that Buddy did put it out there, because it hasn't been in his nature ever to do that, Buddy.
Who put it out there?
Well, I don't know who put the story out there, but I don't think that it was
Buddy
that talked about it.
Wouldn't have been Sydney.
Well, it might have been somebody that thinks that they're connected to the Franklin family group or whatever that knows what's going on, but it doesn't necessarily mean that the Franklin camp said, oh, let's put it out there, can we? Let's talk about this and see if we can disrupt the season.
As I understand it, it was a journo in Brisbane with Channel 9 who was definitive, like came out definitively.
I understand that. But
that's strange, isn't it? Yeah, how do you know?
Well, who knows? But he may be connected somehow to the family, whatever. I mean, putting that to one side, okay. I don't think the Buddy was out there saying, okay, let's see if I can't disrupt the Sydney Swans final season now.
I don't think he was impressed with their low ball offer, though.
No, well, fair. Their low ball offer apparently isn't that low ball. Like, their low ball offer apparently is about $100,000 difference than what he could possibly go and earn somewhere else. So it's not really a low ball offer.
I see.
They just haven't been able to reach an agreement yet. But now what he's saying is that he can't decide necessarily whether he even wants to play again next season.
Or is he, you don't know, do you? Or is he saying, I'm going to say that so everyone can just bugger off and let me get on with it. Of the bomb, the seed's been planted. Now everyone knows where we're at. I'm prepared to go and or retire unless we can get something done. So all parties are on notice. Now I'll just go and play my footy, hopefully win a flag.
But this is the world we live in, and that is that people come out of contracts, and contracts do or they don't get negotiated. And then
a
player is – it's not so much about – it's about a business decision that each and every player – has to make, and that determination they have to make at some point of their career.
Sure.
Are they prepared to stay and play, or do they think they can get a better offer somewhere else? Because that is their tool of trade. Oh, playing football is what they do.
100% agree with you. But you can't be surprised that it hasn't blown up in the manner that it has. He's been there for 10 years.
No, I'm not surprised about that. I'm surprised around the commentary around it to say that, you know, like Korn said, you know, it's me, there's a lot of me. I don't think Buddy has ever displayed that characteristic in the time that he's ever played the game.
No, he hasn't, but he hadn't had to. He had 10 years where he knows exactly where his wedge is coming from.
That's right, but he's also had 10 years of history around his behaviours, and he's never been one that wants to come out and play. Like, he's never sought the limelight at all, Buddy. He has had the limelight because he's been such a great player, but he's actually shied away from that, if anything.
I agree, but when it comes to the contracts, he hasn't had to play in that space for 10 years, so we don't know. And history would say his last contract that he did was very left field and didn't go the way that most people thought it was going to go. And he left.
The fact that he played out or the fact that he
Premiership behemoth and everyone thought he was off to the Giants and he's pulled the wild card and went to the Swans. So there's some history says he's got some unpredictability around contract negotiation time.
Well, 10 years ago, 11 years ago.
He's only had, that's my point. That's my point. You're saying,
that's hardly an establishment of behaviour, like one off.
But
he had a greater offer from the Sydney Swans and it took everybody by surprise and he didn't go to GWS, he went to Sydney Swans 11 years ago.
You're saying he's been quiet and everything.
I'm saying not about contract I'm not talking about now. Talking about his personality as somebody.
He's not a secret.
Like he shied away from publicity. He's never wanted to be the centre of anything.
Maybe Jacinta's taking over negotiation. She's an accredited agent now.
Well, Maybe there's somebody else in the background too. Do you think, would, in your mind, how desperate do you think Sydney would be for Buddy to keep playing there at Sydney?
I think they would like him to continue there. I don't think desperate would be the word. I don't think they would think it's the end of the world. But in terms of the bigger picture, to have him finish his career as a Sydney Swan in that market where he's beloved and drags him through the gates and all those sorts of things. So, yeah, I think from that point of view, for the whole club, it's really important. But for the actual playing side, they've got
other players coming through, haven't they?
Succession plan pretty well in place. Let's take a break. Get some more of the news headlines. Here we go. Sammy Edmund, he's got something. Look, he walked past the window. That is called a S-I-S.
He's puffing his chest out like a pigeon.
Spring in step.
Spring.
He's got something. Ashley's in a chuka. G'day, Ashley.
G'day, fellas. Hope you're well. Hey, just with the Paddy Cripps bump, like, I don't want to make this player versus player, team versus team, but, when you look at the this is what probably frustrates supporters, but and I'm a Collingwood supporter, so this is why I'm bringing this one up. But Braden Maynard, in a footy act, trying to punch a ball, does a similar sort of thing, knocks a player out, and like gets weeks for it. And then Timmy, you're sort of sitting there going, you can't see why Paddy wants to, why Paddy's going to have anything why is he going to be bloody not playing for the next 2 weeks? So at the end of the day, like, that's where we get confused, because you're sort of barking up his tree now, but. And then on the other end, you might sort of be the other way. I'm not having a go at you, but I'm just sort of saying that this is where it gets confusing. So, I hope Paddy does play. Well, not really. I don't want him to play at the Pies, but, we want him to be playing football. And, this is where it gets confusing. So I just want to hear your thoughts.
Well, it is confusing. It is. And we all have different views on different incidents, Ashley. I don't know.
So
I can't even remember what I said about the
Maynard.
The
Maynard was, they deemed it to be
a round arm.
Yeah. Mm. And the spoil. If in fact his claim was that he was spoiling it, then that was a stretch and it was careless, and the chances of him spoiling as opposed to hitting in the head were much lesser, therefore he copped it, right? So and I guess what Ashley is saying, well, the arguable point is that he was spoiling. In the end, you go, nah. The arguable point here is that Cripps is going for the footy, but he turns his body at the last moment.
That's right. Zero says, Tim, you do realise a marking contest has zero relevance for the Cripps incident. Yeah, I do realise that, Zero. What I'm talking about is when you compete for the ball, whether you compete for the ball and it's a handball, an errant handball, and you try and grab hold of that, or you compete for a mark. I mean, sometimes there are collisions in our game.
Yeah, you can jump for a loose ball.
You're allowed to jump for the ball and contest for the ball. Sometimes you can arrive a millisecond too late, and therefore you brace yourself. And then in the instance of bracing yourself, trying to compete for the ball, you might knock somebody over. I mean, that's what happens in our game.
Let's all just stand by. Good on your ass. Jono's in Sunshine. Hello, Jono.
G'day, fellas. How are you?
Good, we're well, thank you.
Franklin thing. I sort of was listening to the Wisp sort of, in a way, sort of defend Franklin, but
I just think this has got a bit of Jacinta Franklin becoming an agent thing, and we're getting all the things that we get whenever someone comes out of contract. Clubs interested here, clubs interested there. The bloke might play, he might not play. She's had a bit of profile in the papers lately and all that sort of stuff. Big announcement that she became an agent.
I just want to jump in there, John.
Jump
she's,
in. Yeah.
She's not an agent. She's not an accredited. She set the first stage of it, but she's a way off being an accredited agent. No, I don't think Buddy needs to drum up any drama.
Please tell me that we're not going to start blaming Jacinta Franklin for this story.
I shouldn't have mentioned that. That was tongue-in-cheek.
Please tell me we're not going to
do that. Was a tongue-in-cheeker.
Okay.
Surely you recognise a tongue-in-cheeker.
Well, I do. I didn't see your tongue-in-your-cheeker.
Maybe Jono didn't recognise it as a tongue-in-cheeker.
Hey, just quickly, Isaac Rankin and the report that he's been offered a 5-year deal by the Adelaide Crows, $800,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
I looked at some stats yesterday that were supplied by your good friends there, because I was thinking to myself, is he really worth that? Like, mm-hmm. he's a great highlights reel type player, Isaac Rankin, but in terms of productivity, where does he rank currently alongside every other small forward in the game? Now, from Champion Data, they say that he's the 10th best general forward in the competition. What's the breakdown of a general?
I don't know exactly, but I think it's all his ground ball stuff. Like
He's number one. He's the number one player in the competition for forward 50 ground balls.
Yeah, but you always say, which they're good supporting stats. Some people go, big deal, and that's fair enough too. But your eye, what's your eye tell you?
My eye tells me that he does things that other players are incapable of doing. But does he do enough? No. Does he do enough of them?
No, because if he did, he'd be Gary Ablett.
That's right.
So he's not at that level. But he's at a level where Adelaide are prepared to pay probably $200,000 more a year than he's worth to get him back. And the mail is that...
Is he worth that in your mind?
Well, he's worth 600, right?
Is he worth eight?
No, but
over 5 years.
That's what I'm saying. He's worth 600, but to get him out, you've got to pay overs. And that's where Adelaide are at. 4 weeks ago, he was staying. That's what I'm told. And then they've managed to do it, seem to have turned his mind. But they haven't given up the goal.
Where Adelaide are at right now, and I think they're building.
They're building.
I think their performances this year are actually even better than probably what they look like wins and losses mm-hmm. this year. Where they're at right now, though, do they need to, tie, what is it, to how many millions of dollars it's going to be 5 years, $4 million to a player like Isaac Rankin when they can go maybe to the draft and get the next best kid that can do that?
They're the youngest team in the comp, so they must have some salary cap space.
Oh, they've got salary cap space,
So do it. Do it.
Pay for somebody like an Isaac Rankin.
Sure. I mean, 800 sounds obscene money. I agree with you. But as I said, you've got to move the kid back. And if you've got the youngest list in the comp, get them together and grow them together.
Right. I'm copping a bit of flack about
the
Crips bump. And somebody said, no, if it was Job, would you say the same thing? She was very sick. I would, because what I'm saying is I don't think it was anything untoward. It was a football collision. That's what I'm saying.
And our audience, in the main, will respect you for that decision, whether they agree with you or not.
As they should.
Without the abuse.
As they should. No abuse, please.